Welcome to Ear Biscuits, the podcast where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. This week at the round table of dim lighting, we're taking you down the river. We're gonna take you down the rapids. We're gonna lose some people off the boat.
Oh no.
And we're not gonna be able to find them. Maybe it's my friend from college.
Oh wow.
Or maybe it's my friend from internet, who was also my friend from college.
Well, you consider me your friend from internet? First of all, you didn't even say the internet. I was kind of hoping you would be wearing your Willie Nelson shirt that I got you. You know, I went to the Palomino Festival.
And every day you show up with a new damn t-shirt. I'm like, how many t-shirts did you buy at this festival that I was also supposed to go to, but I was too COVID-ed to go to it?
So I went
pretty bitter
without you.
Every day you show up with a t-shirt and it's like rubbing it in my face.
Let me say two things.
Just take the t-shirt off and rub it in my face.
You don't want that. Number one, this is a shirt that I did not get the shirt at Palomino Festival. I got this shirt while I was on my vacation in Santa Barbara at a surf shop, because this is like a collab.
It's just a Shotgun Willie.
Between Willie Nelson and I think PacSun? Some brand. Does it say it? Brixton.
Brixton, that's different than PacSun.
Yeah, but Brixton would be sold at PacSun. But the t-shirt that I got you, I saw this awesome Willie Nelson t-shirt that said Willie's Reserve. And I was like, oh yeah, that Link will love that.
But that's like where people go to like, shoot game, right?
No, it's Willie's weed brand. I did not know at the time that this is Willie Nelson's cannabis company, Willie's Reserve. So just be careful where you wear it, Link.
Be careful where I wear it?
Be careful where you wear it. Probably shouldn't wear it on the internet.
I haven't worn it. Matter of fact, I threw it away.
Have you even tried it on?
I usually launder my shirts first.
Interesting. I guess normal size people can do that.
Because I wear a large t-shirt, but I want it to fit medium 0.5.
This is funny because this morning I saw this shirt hanging up. My wife had washed it. We used to have this agreement that you cannot wash and dry my t-shirts. But that was back when t-shirts were a little bit skinnier, a little bit tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I upgraded to the XL and I was like, oh, XL's basically, the style has changed, right? So they've gotten a little bit bigger. She washed this, and I have a pretty good sense of just looking at a shirt on a hanger and knowing if it's gotten too short. And I was like, oh no, she messed my Shotgun Willie shirt up. But I put it on and it actually fits okay. Because before I put it on, I was like, am I gonna have to start getting two XLs and then laundering them and drying them real hard?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not.
Shotgun Willie is a great song. I think it's also the name of the album.
Sits around in his underwear.
And it's, I think it became one of his monikers after that song came out.
Yes, right. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about we went back to Colorado.
Yeah, we did.
We're just kind of doing that. We're really into the Denver airport and all the conspiracies around it.
I'm fond
of it. And we want to visit the Denver airport as much as possible.
I'm not fond of the Denver airport. It's rather large.
We're not going to really get into
there's a red-eyed Bronco.
The conspiracy theories, but if you want to, if you're that kind of person, you know me, I'm not into conspiracy theories unless I'm doing a bit on GMM.
There's tunnels.
There's all kinds of theories about this thing. It was built in 1995, I think. It cost $3 billion more than the expected budget, which is a lot of money. It took a lot of extra time.
Because they built a tunnel all the way to Fort Collins.
So people are like, there's a tunnel that goes like 100 miles to Colorado Springs, I think is the theory. There's like, the Illuminati supposedly uses it. The most interesting thing is there is that big Bronco that's out. First of all, it's in the middle of nowhere outside of Denver, just on the plains, right?
Yeah.
And then there's this big, giant blue Bronco, of course, like the Denver Broncos.
It's their mascot.
But this thing is massive and has these lit up red eyes that don't always, it's like you have to drive past it and at a certain angle, boom, it's like the thing just kind of lights up and looks directly at you.
It lights up?
Well, they're always
lit. I was driving the rental car, so I didn't get to see the eyes.
And the thing is called, you know what the name of the thing is? Blucifer.
Really?
Yes. And the artist, this is freaky.
Only that statue or the mascot for the football team?
I think only that statue.
Okay.
The artist was killed by the statue while he was building it.
How?
A piece of the horse fell off and cut an artery in his leg and he bled out.
Nuh-uh.
I ain't making this stuff up, man. Wikipedia.
Yes, that. Somebody else is making it up.
No. That's, so there's a lot of things. There's all these weird, there's images around the airport and there's people think that there's some sort of Nazi thing going on. I think that all of that, and interestingly, the Denver airport, like the CEO of the Denver, if you go on the Denver airport website.
The CEO of an airport?
They have, yeah, it's a big job. They have decided to embrace, not the Nazi part, but the conspiracy theory stuff. Because they were like, we spent some time trying to dispel these things, and now we just embrace it, and it's just part of the fun of the airport. Because there's like gargoyles around the baggage claim or something to like ward off evil spirits. But it's just, you know, it's just like architectural decisions or whatever. But that Bronco killed the artist.
Wow.
That's like the desk of GMM.
Killing
one of us.
Man, I hope we're rolling on that.
Or the Round Table of Dim Lighting. If you had to be killed by the GMM desk or the Round Table of Dim Lighting, which, and it was because an artery was cut and you were gonna bleed out, which one would you choose? I don't think the round table of dim lighting could cut you.
It's round.
The GMM desk could probably cut you with one of those corners.
It's dim in here though. You might, there's a hazard with visibility.
That's true. So anyway, we enjoyed the Denver airport. It's a beautiful airport other than the conspiracies.
So this trip was a long time in the works. Just to give you a little background, when we on this podcast started, we released our lost years. This is pre-pandemic, like weeks before the pandemic really hit in 2020. We released the lost years.
You have a little hair that I feel like needs to be addressed.
Oh yeah?
Got it.
Did I address it?
Yep.
Okay. And you know,
for those of you listening, it was not a pube.
Our friends.
It was on his head.
We gave, you know, our friends back home, you know, their faith is still intact. Now, I'm not going to speak for them.
Friends back, only one of them.
They're not back
home.
But like our friends from college that we, you know, we were in and out of touch with, like we're still friends, but we're not like actively talking to them all the time, like active friends pre-pandemic. But at different points when we were visiting back home, at least one friend, like I gave him a heads up. Gave Harm a heads up that like, hey, we're gonna talk about our spiritual deconstructions on the podcast. I'm approaching this with some trepidation. And you know, so I was able to have some good conversation because, you know, we experienced being involved in Campus Crusade and like our college years and all that stuff with them. Like, yeah. These were our closest friends. So it's like giving them a heads up, kind of telling them it's coming. And just a general response was of support, you know, and like, hey, you know, I'm your friend. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I'm as you go through this. Who knows how this is going to all come out? So that's when we started like reengaging and kind of upping the ante on our friendship. I think right before the pandemic. Then when the pandemic hit, before the pandemic hit, as the Lost Years podcast were coming out, I believe we had a video chat or two where we were like talking to them about it, because they were, you know, they said they wanted to support us. And it's one thing to say that, thoughts and prayers, but it's another thing to say, hey, how are you doing? I'm sending you a text, let's talk. And then like, we're all getting on video chats and talking. Then when the pandemic hit, we were like, it kind of shifted to being about talking about our shared experience in the pandemic, because you got Harm in North Carolina, you got Greg, who, you met Greg on this podcast months ago. He's in Washington State, and Tim was in St. Louis. Baltimore is what I was going to say. St. Louis at the time. He's in New York State now, and another friend in Japan.
Yes.
You know, and so in this group, we got a guy who's like heading a seminary. We got a guy who's a full-time pastor. We got a guy who takes pictures of real estate properties.
Yes.
But is very involved in his church, you know? So like, that's where they're coming from. But we were such good friends in college, and then the pandemic like really strengthened our friendship. And I remember early on, it was like, man, this is nice. This is a source of strength to be able to connect with these people. This is something we talked about over many podcasts and like highlights of the year. I think we brought it up. So our friendship got reignited. Who knew the pandemic would last so long? We would do a video chat every week, every couple of weeks.
Pretty much said it from the beginning.
Okay, yeah, fair point.
If you go back, yeah, they said we're 2023, we're still gonna be thinking about this.
But even early on, like the first 6 months of the pandemic, as we were like having these video chats, this idea started to percolate of, when this is over, we should all get together. We should do something. We should like,
because I think that it's
and then we're like, let's not all get together in North Carolina. Boring. Let's have a trip.
But it's, I think it's important because I do. We're not. This isn't the point of the conversation. Is not to talk about the fact that we're in a different place spiritually and the nature of our friendship. We're just going to talk about the time that we had together. But I do want to just address that a little bit because. I don't know. You know, I tend to engage more about this stuff than you do, right? Like, yeah. If somebody says something to me on the internet about it or ask a question, I'll get into it. I enjoy kind of going back and forth with people who disagree with me about things a little bit. And so, you know, and I kind of give off the vibe that, like, I kind of still want to talk about this. I mean, I'm releasing a damn album that's all about my spiritual deconstruction, right? I'm kind of, I'm in that camp.
Right.
So I'm kind of inviting conversation. I'm inviting challenges and that kind of thing. And I do think that people might be like, oh, you guys have like sworn off anything to do with church or Christianity, or and you may think that it impacts relationships and friendships. And I just think it's really interesting. And now it depends on the nature of the person, right? Because there might be people who are like, you have made these public statements and you have established yourself in this particular position and you're kind of in opposition against evangelical Christianity from a philosophical standpoint. And therefore, I can't have a relationship with you. There are people who would take that stance, but that's not the stance that we've taken. I'm still in very close relationships with a lot of people who are still very much evangelical Christians. And I think that, you know, and I'm not going to speak for these dudes because I think that they can speak for themselves. I think that.
And by the way, I am too. I got my former church friends. I got a few key ones.
Yeah, and you know, all I'm going to say is that while we definitely have disagreements about some fundamental things, it's like the foundation of our friendship is love, and that love is still intact, and that love surpasses our disagreements, and we had a lot of really lively, you know, discussions or whatever. It's not argumentative, and it's not like it doesn't get heated. I think we all, at least a certain set of us in this group, kind of enjoy talking about these things and like talking about things from a philosophical, spiritual standpoint or whatever. And it's just kind of I think what I'm trying to say is these guys are a great example of how Christians can interact with people who have deconstructed.
Yeah, and you know what? I think I have some thoughts about it, but I want to come back to it in after going through the whole trip, because I think that kind of sheds light and perspective on the thoughts that I have about it in response to what you're saying.
Okay.
So like, I think this is going in a good place. I'll just put a pin in it, just kind of come back to that as kind of a bookend thing.
All right.
The other way to look at this was, I mean, we just had this desire to get together and do a trip because, like, we were really enjoying reconnecting. And yeah, we talk about the pandemic so much. We talk about our lives. It's not like we talk about our spirituality constantly. It moved into just being one of the many things we would talk about. So the trip finally happened, you know. We said, let's meet in Denver. It could be a central airport for people coming from all over the place. And then we can, you know, let's get an Airbnb where everybody can have their own bedroom.
I really appreciate
I found that.
You making that determination.
That was a huge And it's not easy to find when you got like five guys. You each need your own room.
That's a big house.
Going outside of Denver, we were near Idaho Springs and we were like, what can we do around there? Whitewater rafting, baby. This is perfect. This is a perfect like midlife college boys, somehow still friends. Let's get back together. Let's do something a little death defying. You know, city slickers. Haven't seen it, but my understanding is that like it's a midlife crisis.
You haven't seen City Slickers?
I would love to see it. It's just, you know, I'm a busy man.
We didn't talk about GME in the first 5 minutes.
Was that a stipulation?
A stipulation or is it just we have to say it twice?
It's an internal.
Okay, thing. So we're gonna say it.
I'll say it right now. I haven't seen slitty slickers.
Slitty slickers?
That's different.
That's porn. That's the porn version.
I haven't seen that either.
I haven't seen
speaking of which, slitty slickers. Slitty.
Sick that slit.
Slitty slickers. Sickers. Slitty sickers.
Wow.
Good Mythical Evening is right around the corner.
Yes, it is.
And who knows? Maybe we should watch that.
That's a good transition.
We got a lot of stuff planned. Get your ticket now for the live event exclusively on Moment House. Watch it as it's happening. Whatever happens, you will see.
Yeah.
It's gonna be R-rated.
There will be drinking.
It's gonna be full of surprises for us, and we might have some surprises for you.
September 1st, mark your calendars, clear your schedules.
Go to goodmythicalevening.com and grab that ticket. We made plans to go whitewater rafting and hang out at this Airbnb and do some other stuff. And it definitely felt like that kind of midlife. It was it like City Slickers?
Yeah. Probably, I think we are most likely we're probably actually a little bit older than the City Slickers were. Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
What's Billy Crystal is the porn version. Billy Clitstal.
Stop it.
I was trying to get it right.
Hey man, you gotta save some stuff for a Good Mythical Evening.
I'm just warming up.
Okay.
The thing I was thinking was the dad energy,
yeah,
that was kind of permeating everything. Like when we all got into the SUV to go somewhere, and like you made he was like, isn't it interesting to be here and to not have to say something like, does everybody have all the stuff they need? Has everybody taken a leak if you need to use the bathroom? Do you have your phone?
Hey, right.
When a bunch of dads get together who are the ones who are constantly saying those things to their families, it's like everybody's just like, you don't have to worry about anybody. Everybody just got themselves figured out.
It was so great. And when we had to check out by 10 a.m., everybody's scrambling, doing their thing. Everybody's pitching in to like take the trash out and put the sheets in the right spot and the towels in the right place and this, that, and the other. And we all get in the rental car and I look at the clock, 10 a.m. on the dot, baby.
Yeah, that would
full
not have
dad
happened
mode engaged.
If I was with my family. Not a chance.
And I definitely wouldn't have a smile on my
face.
Which
confirms I am not the problem.
I'm not either.
Because when left to my own devices, I get out of the place on time.
Right.
I'm not the problem. I'm not saying my beautiful wife is the problem. It's probably the children, but it could be my wife as well. I don't know, because I haven't experimented in that way to isolate her. I don't know.
So
it could be my beautiful wife's problem.
It felt good, you know, and everybody was pretty laid back, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Some of us are. We got different gradations of being laid back, but there's like, I was driving. That made me feel good. I actually felt like I'm driving.
If you had to rank,
I picked the place.
The laid backness of the group. 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Who's the most laid back and who's the least laid back?
Greg is the most laid back. And then next, it may be, I'm debating between Tim and you. I think it's you. It's definitely you. Because there would be times when I was driving and then all of a sudden Tim would be the one speaking up saying, we just passed the grocery store that we were supposed to go to and if you don't, but the town that we're going to is up here and if you go to that place first, if we go to that liquor store first and then come back to the grocery store, then it's gonna add 40 minutes to our trip. And I was like, I did not know that. Brilliant, let's turn around.
Right.
So it takes a level of like, I'm actually, you know, I had a GPS on and then he's back there in the back seat with another one on, just like catching my errors, which is great. And then I would rank, who's left? Me
you
and
Harm.
Oh, this is a debate.
You're both Enneagram ones.
Yeah.
Which already.
And we're the ones, it's between the two of us is the reason why the trip happened. Let's be real.
No, yeah, this is why different personality profiles, which we kind of analyze through the grid of the Enneagram, but it just means different personality types. You need some ones in your, it's helpful to have some ones in your group just to make sure that the things, the logistics,
everything goes perfectly,
get planned.
But, and since I was planning things.
But then you need some other people in your group, other non-ones in your group, so that you can actually have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. You can't have all ones.
You got to set it up, and then you got to spike it.
I made a lot of the plans, but Harm was the one who would be like, whenever we found out it was Tim's birthday, and he was like, "I want to eat a steak," and then you're like, "We're gonna get you a steak," and then you kept throwing out steak places, and then Harm would be like, "That's too far," you know. It's like he's got his moments of asserting that, like, bad idea, doesn't fit within the parameters of perfection, which I appreciate. You know, I felt like I didn't have to be the one to evaluate everything. And because I was kind of the leader, I was the leader.
Okay.
I was the driver and I knew the itinerary. I wasn't really the leader, but I felt like that there were checks and balances between Harm and Tim. I'm gonna put Harm at number one. I'm gonna put me at number two.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then I'm sure I'm gonna hear from him later.
Okay, speaking as an innocent bystander.
Maybe we were tied.
I think my assessment is that while Harm is much more of a 1-1 than you are a 1-1, right? Because
okay,
you are incredibly disorganized and forgetful and like absent-minded in a way that most ones don't. Like, you lose your keys. You come to work. Yesterday you came to work. Oh, I left my laptop at home. You come to work. You usually don't have your ID. If we need to go someplace and you need an ID, you're like,
yeah.
My ID is.
But me being a one only translates into then I just felt like a failure.
But Harm is like, he's a very buttoned up one.
Yeah, he wears more buttons than me.
But so it's interesting. You have a chaotic energy, but you're also a one. So I think that when your oneness comes out, it can come out in sort of a semi-aggressive nature in a way that Harm's never comes out.
The only time that I got testy was when that last morning when we were stalling to go to the airport, we couldn't find anything worth doing after visiting Red Rocks Amphitheater, which was awesome. We had a few more hours, and then it was just like, we got on scooters in like downtown Denver, and it was like, I was not impressed.
Well, you made that very clear.
I was not happy. I was like, you know what? Next time, we're just gonna get up and we're gonna get on the plane and get the hell out. that's the other thing about, and maybe it's a one thing too, is that like, the whole time I was assessing, what are we learning here for next time? And I found out the only person I could talk to that about was Harm, really.
But there was that moment.
But that was nice.
There was that moment.
What are we gonna do next year?
In the next to last day where I pointed out, where I was like, you said something like, you said something about this town that we're in. I was like, okay, in the past 2 hours you have complained about this town, this restaurant, this walk that we're on right now. Like, you had complained about a lot of things. And that was your, what I would call your aggressive oneness.
Should have never have gone to Aspen.
I'm just saying.
I think that's what it was.
So what I'm saying ultimately, I'm not throwing you under the bus, but I'm putting you at number one. Because while I think that harm is the most 1-1 in a lot of ways, the aggressive oneness is more likely to come from you. Just saying, between the two of us.
But I know how to cut loose too, man.
Well, that's sure, yeah.
I know how to let it go. That's why I let go so aggressively. I just like, I let go with reckless abandon.
That is how I would describe it, aggressively letting go.
But then it's like, it's just like, yeah, like, I don't know how this Good Mythical Evening is gonna go. I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but we're on the precipice of it. Like the last one, yeah, it was just like a big release of one, like letting go of oneness and just like, just letting loose, man.
Well, the people around you have to take cover. It's a little bit like a tornado, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn that. So I'm getting better. But yeah, it's nice to just totally check out of oneness. I love that.
And there was a hot tub.
Which
allowed
and
for
a
that.
Fire pit. We need to promote some crap.
And a lot of
right?
bourbon.
Let's do that, and then we'll get into the specifics. Over on the Mythical Society, we've been doing these games. What have we been calling it?
The Society Showdown.
Society Showdown. We've had Team Rhett versus Team Link. You can go on the Mythical Society and watch the previous iterations. We played an epic game of nasty food Jenga. Then we played our new party game that you can get at Walmart or walmart.com called We're Still Good. We played that. Had a lot of fun.
And then, but the first of all, you've won, you're up by 3
I'm
points.
I'm winning.
But we have a live, ultimate Society Showdown. We're gonna determine the
yes.
final champion between Team Rhett and Team Link. I don't even know what we're doing. A series of live competitions. Davin is dreaming this stuff up. He's our game master.
Yeah, he was on Wheel of Fortune.
And so you gotta be a third degree member in order to watch the live finale.
This Thursday, August 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on the Mythical Society. Join Third Degree to watch this live finale. If you're listening to this after the fact, well, it's archived. You can go back and experience the live streams that we do on the Mythical Society anytime you want. Also, don't forget, Third Degree quarterly or annual members get the GMM Woven Blanket Collectible, mythicalsociety.com.
So I think we both
you want to talk about rafting?
Yes, we both had our sights set on, we all did. Rafting was, you know, if you think about a central, sort of the center of gravity of this, the expectations around this trip, was around this adventure that we were gonna go on rafting. And it was like, yeah, it's Colorado, like, you know, it's going to be super intense and it's going
to
be
well, I wanted to find one
big.
That was, I said, adventurous, not boring. I want class 4. I want class 5. We've done the Upper Gauley in West Virginia, which has, I believe, class 5s. It was very intense.
I think doesn't it go to class 6?
Yeah, let's just say yeah.
I think at certain times, the Upper Gauley will go to class 6.
So in Idaho Springs, the Clear Creek runs through there, like right next to the freeway or whatever they call it. It's beautiful, beautiful big creek. And so there's a lot of whitewater rafting on that. And so we did the Upper Clear Creek and they said it was like a half day trip. And we get there, there's like six rafts going out. We're in a raft all our own. We got pictures to prove it. And there were class 4s and then a couple of what they called class 5s at the end.
No.
There were only class 4s?
We did not go above a class 4.
Okay. I think it's so dependent on the water levels, and by the time that we were there, the water levels were starting to get lower.
Basically the end of the season for this particular thing. Shout out to Amber, our guide, who is a mythical beast, and as we were settling in and getting our equipment, she came up to us and said, pick me, to be your guide.
She said, I'm the best.
And I was like, yeah, well, that's what I said. She said, pick me to be your guide. And I said, are you any good? And she said, I'm the best. And then when we got on the river, she said, actually, I have the least of experience of any of anyone that you could have chosen today. But she was
but
great.
But she was a mythical beast.
She was a mythical beast, and she was a great rafting guide. And she can't. We can't blame Amber for the nature of the water at that point. When we were planning this, we said we wanted the most intense rapid that we could get our hands on. We wanted to be out there for the longest. Kara was sending emails to different companies, and people were sending back. They're like, "How in shape are these guys?" Like, they were
like, "These are good questions."
They were picturing like Kevin Bacon from A River Wild.
Are they experienced? It's like, yeah, just tell them whatever they need to hear, like, for us to do this stuff.
Because what I was kind of thinking secretly the whole time is that we could create a situation that would feel like a thriller movie. Like, not necessarily like The River Wild, where it turns out the guide is a murderer, spoiler alert.
Right.
But
or a banjo player.
More like...
With a bow and arrow.
I wanted there to be some legitimate peril. Somebody's got to get rescued.
Hell yeah, man. We got a podcast to make.
Right.
And you make it on the river.
And but then they were like, well, you can't really do the class fives now because that's not really active, but we did all we could do, but nobody got hurt.
Well,
and nobody died.
Amber said, we can go for a swim. We can topple this thing over at a certain point if you want to. And I was like, yes. And then Tim was like, I'd rather not, you know?
It was cold and it was raining. It was actually the most peril that
he was
in.
And he played it's my birthday card. I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
I was like, can we at least take a vote? Amber's like, well, it's his birthday. I'm not going to turn you guys over. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I'm not going to do it on
almost
purpose.
Happened. But the scaredest I was at the beginning.
In the parking lot?
The parking lot, like trying to get into this water, and there was a thunderstorm coming through, and it was just like,
Lightning on the ridge,
feeling very close. I was like, now I realized that, you know, by definition, the river is the lowest point in the valley, so I guess unlikely to get struck. But
it's water,
I am
though.
The tallest person in this boat.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So the lightning's gonna find me first.
And you were wearing that pointy metal hat.
Yeah, right.
But it was really cool to like push off into the creek, and then it's raining, it's thundering, there's a little bit of lightning. It really gave it a sense of peril. I like that, because that was the easier part of the ride. And you know, we were very responsive. We were, you know, you get a woman barking orders in the back of a boat, and boy, we're aiming to please.
Yeah, we are.
We're talking about how much we needed her to tell us how good we were at whatever she told us to do.
Yeah, that was first.
Like, what?
The first question I asked her was, how are we doing compared to the average boat? This is a very McLaughlin question to ask. And she was like, you're doing average. Like she said, and I was like, whoa. So what do you mean? She was like, well, there's been a couple of times that not everyone has responded. And I think she was talking about me. I was like, well, I'm in the front of the boat. You gotta speak louder, Amber.
You blamed her.
I blamed her. I was like, if you say it loud enough, the register's ready to go. So then after that, I was really listening.
Yeah.
And then she said, okay, you're doing better than average. And me and Tim, who were both threes, we both felt good about that.
Yeah. And then you start going down. I mean, the whole trip, it said it was a half day trip, but I think they count a lot of other stuff.
That's accounting for everything, like leaving your home and getting back.
Yeah. So we were actually on the river for an hour. Which was a disappointment. I'm just going to be honest.
It would have been nice to.
An hour is a short amount of time to actually do something when you got to do something longer than it takes to prep for it and recover from it. Well, not recover from it. I'll take that back.
What about
but
six?
But prep for it. Yeah. I think so.
Is foreplay prep?
No. Foreplay is sex, man.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out.
Save that for Sextember.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, and she, you know, because of the rain, we were moving faster, which was
good.
Actually good.
The water was coming up.
So yeah, it was, I mean, we almost got dumped in the drink in, at the end, and those, there's a couple of class fours there at the end, and they both like have the word beaver in the name, which is great. It's like, you gotta really nail the slot of the beaver.
Right.
And then you're like really, you're really diving into it, and your side, I mean, I thought you were going, like, you were going backwards, like you were deep. Like the whole boat was like going in on you in the upper right hand corner.
We got a pretty good action shot of that.
Yeah, I'm not in most of these photos, so I don't really, I don't care much to show.
You were blocked a little bit.
I was in the back. I got in the back of the boat thinking
it was the front. Man, no, that's your problem.
I knew it wasn't. I got in the back of the boat thinking, you know what? I'll let the boys experience the front of the boat, because there'll be a point when we switch, and
there's
then
not if there's an if it's an hour long.
When we switch, then I'll be in the front of the boat for the best part. So I selfishly deferred to make myself look better when really I was a bad
I didn't
person.
Get in the front of the boat by choice. It was the only spot left. It was like, okay, you guys don't want to get in the front? I'll get in the front. Me and Greg got in the front.
I wish I would have gotten in the front.
My favorite part of those photos is Greg's face. Progressively, like everyone had a different sort of like, you know, most of us were smiling. I kind of had a sort of a, like I put my, I do what my dad does when I'm getting ready to
you
go.
Grit
to
it. You grit your lock your jaw.
But I was still trying to enjoy myself. But Greg looked just
astonished,
frightened. In a couple, there's a couple of really great shots. We'll we're showing them to you right now. If
he's
you're watching
done. He's done a lot more death-defying river action up there in Washington.
He's been kayaking
too.
And he's doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Which kind of brings me to the next point, which is we got a little taste of adventure. But everybody wanted a little bit more of a taste. So the thing that we're talking about now is next time potentially doing one of these curated adventure trips where you've got like a guide who leads you through. Now they do
something
this
overnight,
of, they
like
do this
a
kind
2 day, one night at least.
Well, they do this kind of thing in Alaska, and I think Alaska may be too ambitious and too far away, but maybe there's something in the continental United States that doesn't require too much travel because we're all busy, where we can get somebody to kind of lead us through. So I'm not saying I'm putting the call out there, but if you're like a mythical beast guide, and I don't mean
let's put the call out
there. And I don't mean like you want to be a guide. I'm saying that your job, you are a professional adventure guide.
Yeah.
Who leads people on these curated adventure trips.
We want to do, and it
in the United States.
It could be City Slicker-esque. It could be full cowboy. It could be mules going down into the Grand Canyon, staying at the bottom and coming back up. It could be a big raft.
It could be a dude ranch. I mean, if we want to go full city slickers.
Then I would need to watch. You know, I watched Top Gun, the original, so I could watch the new one. I could do the same thing for City Slickers for the next thing. So I was like, can we do a rafting trip down through the
Grand Canyon?
But then we look at how big those boats are. We want something private or semi-private, and we want it to be rustic.
We don't want mixed company here.
But yet we want it to be posh. We want to be taken care of. We want to almost die, but live the most life we've ever lived. And we want to do it with our college buddies, and we want you to make it happen.
Yeah, so I guess
so
just
let
us know. Hashtag EarBiscuits on Twitter to either—
we've never solicited—
point us in the right direction.
So hard for something.
But listen, again, I'm gonna
say
right now—
it could be Alaska. It needs to be in the continent.
You
gotta
be legit though.
It needs to be in the US.
Like, you gotta be legit. I don't mean like, I've been camping. Don't waste our time.
And we won't waste yours.
Okay?
But it needs to be over a long weekend.
You do this for a living, okay?
Let's give more parameters. It needs to be over a
weekend.
We flew in on Friday and we flew back on a Monday.
That's what it needs to be. It needs to be a 4 day weekend.
It needs to be like a—
so the Saturday and the Sunday is the stuff.
So it's
stuff is—
we're kind of limited in that way, okay? So we're counting on you, mythical beast in connected places.
Somebody's got it. I mean, this is a thing that people do.
If we don't start cashing in on our fame now—
yeah, we gotta do something.
What are we gonna do?
Right.
I'm just a common man. I drive a common van. My dog don't have a pedigree.
Who sings that?
John Connolly.
Who's that?
He's a country singer from like the 80s.
I guess I don't know him.
If I had my way, I'm gonna stay that way.
Other highlights for me
We can't be common anymore, Rhett. You gotta live it up.
I really, first of all, I did enjoy that dinner we had, and we were, and our waitress was a mythical beast, Emily. When we came in.
You made
in,
it weird, you said we were in our waitress, which was really weird.
I said, and our waitress.
Okay, good.
That was your mind in the gutter.
No, I just heard the words.
And that was a situation where we came in the restaurant to celebrate Tim's birthday, and Emily was a mythical beast and said, follow me, I'll be your server. And
pick me.
Was an incredible, she not only was she an incredible waiter, but she also told us that we should go hang out in Golden.
And we made the mistake of not planning anything our second day. I just thought we were gonna lounge at the house and just look at each other and say, wow, so good to see you. But it turns out
we wanted
to do more.
The taste of adventure.
Golden, Colorado, you can take a tour of the Coors Brewing Facility, but you gotta make a reservation like 6 months in advance, and
yeah,
it can't be worth it.
Right. I mean,
well, I mean,
at the end of the day, it's Coors.
Clear,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
clear.
No matter how awesome this is, at the end of the day, it's a Coors. I'm sorry.
I like it for what it is, but I didn't reserve anything.
Right.
And I don't. And I won't.
Right.
Clear Creek runs through Golden, and there's tubing that happens. Like, there's like, I mean, this is like a bustling little town. It's like a cute, nice little town. And people can rent tubes or bring your own tube, and you can either take a shuttle or you can walk along the creek through the middle of town and just put in like a few miles up. And there's like, it's rapids. It's,
oh, yeah.
And there were still a few people with beverages in their hands when they were going down, but at a few points, it's like, your beverage is gonna be spilt.
But there just goes into the
river. A lot of people.
And then it goes straight into the Coors plant.
The water was not, we didn't do the tubing. We thought about it, but we were like, we got on clothes to like hang out here for the rest of the day. We don't wanna smell like the creek and then trying to hang out at a beer joint. So
we did what we did in Aspen, which has become a tradition now. You rent electric bikes and you ride it along the river.
The boys didn't know about this. Like we had to, it felt like a silver bullet, like a revelation.
Yeah.
You know, when we're like, we're gonna ride e-bikes. Cause once you know that there's a body of water running through an outdoorsy town.
In a path next to it.
Yeah,
smooth,
especially with
path.
People tubing.
Smooth.
It's like, you know there's gonna be e-bikes. We found them, we did like a, e-bikes are freaking fun. They are more fun, I think, than scooters. Because you can go further, especially in this instance. Like mm-hmm. on our tours, we would always do scooters in whatever town we were in. And so like for city navigation, it's fun.
Yeah.
But when you're in like a rustic town with like a river or a stream, you wanna cover more ground. And I think the e-bike is the way to go. It's a nice, fun, high-speed tour.
It was definitely a highlight. We saw a freaking, was it a mountain goat? It was a bighorn sheep.
Bighorn sheep,
we saw
dude.
A bighorn sheep.
Just sitting up there on the
I
ridge.
I think that's kind of uncommon.
We got to the end of the path, and by this time, we're like in a canyon, and we're on the outside of town. It's beautiful, like the way that they've laid this place out, like the hiking paths and like the biking paths, it's just like, they've done great planning. And we had to turn around and I just happened to look up and silhouetted against the ridge line is this bighorn sheep, he was kind of leaning over like.
But you got the perfect outline of his horns.
Was it like middle-aged? Boys from college.
It definitely had a nature, like if we had anything other than our phones, we could have gotten some, I think we got just a couple of pictures that we're now showing you.
We wouldn't have seen him if he wasn't silhouetted on the ridge.
But I think that was pretty uncommon. It's uncommon to see those things that close in a town.
I've never seen one.
But I have now.
Elk are very common there. You guys were flipping out. But.
Yep, I saw an elk and I was like, well, that's uncommon. And then I saw like seven more elk on the way to the house. One of the things that I noticed,
I recommend Golden. I recommend tubing. They got an RV park right there by the thing. And like, if you got young kids and you just want to take them tubing, it's like, it seems like a really cool spot to just hang out.
One of the things that I noticed, and now having been to Colorado 2 times in a short period of time, the apparel.
Yeah.
So there is a Colorado style. And again, I've been to Aspen.
I wouldn't call it style.
So it doesn't matter how rich you are. You look like you could do the following things and you would be ready for it. Eat a croissant, have a coffee, maybe take a phone call, hike a very long ways, ride a bike, ride on the back of a bighorn sheep. Like, you can do all those things with what you're wearing.
Take a shit in the woods.
It's like tight athleisure wear.
Athleisure wear, yeah.
And it is a thing, and they all wear it. And it's not, I mean, some of the ladies, you know, I would say that it's working for them, in my opinion. But it isn't necessarily fashion forward, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I didn't see, it wasn't a lot of that like hipster athleisure, like I'm going camping, but I dropped thousands of dollars to look right to do it. It's a lot more practical
than
that.
It's like this clothing will dry very quickly.
Yeah, and it's
aerodynamic.
And it doesn't really draw attention to itself. Like everything,
it's all muted colors, blacks,
if you go down into Hollywood or Beverly Hills or any cool spot, Silver Lake, anywhere, people wearing stuff to express themselves, to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah, you can't really express yourself with this stuff.
Everybody's just really trying to optimize their performance.
It could, let's be honest, it might be the future of clothing because it is the
most— I like expressing myself,
It is the most like Star Trek clothing. Of any clothing choices.
I didn't think of it that way, but you're right.
If you see futuristic clothing in a movie, it's usually form-fitting, tight, looks like it would dry very quickly, is breathable.
Repel bullets.
Yeah.
In rain.
Maybe they understand something that we don't. Because we definitely
don't forget
look like
the
a
nice
couple
hatch to shit in
we
the
look
woods.
Like dudes from LA who are in Colorado.
With 3 guys from other places.
Yeah.
No offense, guys. We're not the same.
Greg had a—
I'll come back to that.
Greg has a little bit of—
Athleisure
wear, like some high tech. He actually had shoes for rafting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he has another friend named Rhett.
Yeah.
That—
we all should.
Drags him somewhere to do stuff. Everyone should have a friend named Rhett to drag him places.
Right.
It's like, I gotta buy special shoes for this? A highlight for me was watching the home videos. You know, when I digitized the stuff that went on the Mythical Society, it was like the never before seen stuff we're putting over there. I also dug up these home video. Like, we had the video camera around our apartment and it was me, you, and Greg, and then the next year Tim moved in. And we would just pick that thing up and film us. We weren't making videos. Well, actually sometimes we were making video, like comedy sketches just for ourselves that no one would ever see. But usually it was just like, we would turn it on, point it at somebody, and they would just start dancing. Or you'd point it, like somebody was on the toilet, and then you'd walk in there and film them. A lot of people sitting on toilets, couple of times guys in showers, and a lot of dancing.
You might need to explain yourself a little bit here. People might get the wrong idea, Link.
Get whatever idea you want. I mean, I don't know why we did it, but it was slice of life, man.
It felt so freeing.
Felt freeing.
Yeah.
But it was so fun to like sit down and watch. I mean, we probably watched an hour of footage.
More than that.
And
I'd say we watched 2 hours.
And then I don't know if it was related to that or the night before, but it just occurred to me when we were sitting around talking one night, and it was like, you know what? It's a special thing that we have, we have this bond that we formed in our college years where you're forming who you are. And we're forming so much of our worldview and our purpose and where we were headed in life and what we, what we believed, but that, and of course, a lot of that stuff has changed. And then on top of that, you know, we're internet famous. And so all of these questions that I think I have in the back of my mind, I realized that I had the perfect opportunity with this group of guys to like gain some data here. And it really boiled down to one question, which I asked. I was like, you know what, we were so close then. I'm so glad that like we reconnected. We stayed connected enough over the years to like fully reconnect and spend this weekend together. Am I different? Am I a different person than I was back then? And I really wanted to know. I was actually, I think it more so, as I said it, I realized that it was like, that question went pretty deep for me. And the immediate response was like, just like a grinning and like people shaking their heads, like, no, you're not different. And it felt so good to me. Like, it was just like, that was my favorite moment. Having people that knew me back then, that still know me now, that I trust completely, and that I know will shoot straight. You know, I knew it wasn't lip service. Because, you know, you have people who make assumptions for whatever reasons. It's like, okay, you moved to California, you changed your beliefs, you this, that, and the other. You're not the same person you were. You let X, Y, and Z things change you. You know?
Yeah.
And it's one thing to get that from your family, like from my mama. It's like, I know, I can tell that my mom still loves me and she's still proud of me and she's not like looking at me like, what happened to you? You know? But it's a different thing with friends who are like, they have every right. And in that moment, they would have said, I believe, like, you know what? Yeah, you're different, dude. But still the same in some way. You know, it was an unequivocal, no, you're the same person. And it just, to use the parlance, it ministered to my soul. I felt like I needed to hear that.
Are you afraid that you've changed?
I guess so. You know, because we do get that messaging from people who don't, some people don't have saying it.
Well, I think what you were saying, what you're asking, because all of us, without exception, have changed.
In so many ways.
In a lot of ways, right? But I think the question you were asking is like, am I essentially the same person?
Yeah.
Which I think am is I actually, yeah. Which is-
That's me, what I ask, am I a different person?
To me, that speaks to the reason that there's not a, I think we can have very fruitful, even fun conversations about things that we disagree on, because the conversation is happening from person to person. Let me kind of explain what I mean by that.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that I, of course, this is something that I think about a lot, is the whole premise of the first song from the James and the Shame Project about believe me, like take me at my word. Actually, I
yeah, exactly.
And I had a, and I talked a lot about in our deconstruction stories that like, I think what ultimately everyone is after is just see the humanity in people. You want someone to see you for who you are and see the humanity. But when you are completely steeped in your ideology, you put it up as a shield, and that's the thing that kind of defines who you are. And that's the thing I respect so much about these guys, right? Obviously, they're coming from a different place, and they have come to different conclusions. Now, and I'll also
let's say places. Not all in the exact same place.
And I'll also say that every single one of them, in their own way, has had very deep considerations about their worldview and their fate. It's like it's not some like, oh, these guys just believe this because of where they're from or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
they have a.
Thoughtful.
It's a thoughtful approach to the conclusions that they have come to. We've ended up in different places for myriad reasons. But then we can come back and we can have these conversations where it is a human talking to another human. Whereas so many of the interactions that you can have with someone of faith, and also someone who is of a faith that you used to be of, is that it is a conversation with a project, right? It's like, this person is a project. This person, the person who has left the flock, is in the wrong, has to be corrected, has to be brought back into
or
the
even,
right relationship.
Or even loved back into it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not, you know.
If sort of the premise or the foundation of your relationship is one of trying to bring them in, trying to bring them back to essentially agree with you, then that influences the entire conversation in the relationship. And honestly, if these guys saw us in that way, we wouldn't be like, yeah, let's go hang out and have a weekend together.
No.
Because I'm not.
No.
I'm not gonna be your project, and I don't want you to be my project, because I'm not trying to change their minds about anything either. So I think that the really interesting thing is that we can have these conversations that are real, that are honest, that are you know, no holds barred in a lot of ways, but also it's just like there's no offense and there's no defense, there's no defensiveness.
Yeah.
Because we're connecting on a personal level, and
we all,
that's all you can ask of somebody.
Because we've all, well, I would say you and I have definitely, and probably the other guys too, I know that we all in our college experience have had moments of like making people into projects, like trying to persuade or change people's minds, and that is like the main through line of the relationship. It's like this carrot that's dangling out there, this ulterior motive beyond just being friends. You know, that's a complication or a potential side effect of having an evangelistic mindset, right? Is that that's the main motive of a friendship.
Yeah.
And ironically, it's something that we were trying to address from the inside out when we worked in Campus Crusade at times, and also with like things that we were developing in terms of things that we talked about. But I guess my point is, we've all been on that side of it. So like I think we're very sensitive to it. Like, you know when it's happening because we used to do it.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now
it's like a magician suddenly doing tricks in a group of magicians.
Yeah, we all,
like, oh, you're doing,
we all kind of know what,
you're doing the thing that we all know how to
that,
do.
That would never work. And I don't, you know, it, over the pandemic, having all those video calls and the conversation, we would talk about all the spiritual stuff, but then we would also move on. And then at times there'd be like pointed questions. But the pointed questions would never be from a point of persuasion. They would be from a point of
curiosity
and care.
Yeah.
So, and you, because we could sniff out anything else, any of us could. So I think that laid a groundwork for us to have such a great weekend and for us to have great active relationships now. I think another piece of it, so totally remove this spiritual journey part of it. There's something, I mean, it's just special to have these college friends. Like, I've heard of people who've had this, like even my Aunt TC, like she's got her group of, I think it's high school friends who they still get together and hang out. Like, every year or so, you know? It's really cool. You see those things happening. You hear about, oh, I'm getting together with my girls or my boys from way back when. There's something special with that type of friendship, that if it's lasted that long, and then there was just an ease to it. Like, it was not complicated. We've made friends, really close friends, that then things have fizzled out or things change. You know, you go through friends over time. And like, I really value the friends I have now, and we could have a great time going on a trip. And I think that there's complete trust, but it's something different about, and even in like the most vibrant of friendships, and I think it's because we lost friends. Maybe that's what's behind this for me. We lost close friends, you know, over the past 6 years or whatever. that there's something a little bit, it plants something that's a little bit tenuous. Oh, there's a tenuous nature. Like, this may not last forever. As good as this is, it may not last forever. But then I feel like that's totally gone with this group of guys because it's been so long and it's just about, and it was so uncomplicated for us to hang out that weekend that there's zero question in my mind that it's gonna be something we wanna do again, and because it's not loaded and there's no question marks.
I think it's just—
we just have fun.
I think a lot of it has to do with friendships that are formed in those really pivotal moments in your life, and you know, college is one of them, right? I always talk about it, and I know that things have changed so much just as a society and as a country, and college is so hard to afford, and like so many people can't have that experience. But essentially, whatever's happening to you between the ages of 18 to 21 to 22 is so significant that whoever you are in close friendships with at that point, there's a great chance that you're gonna, the good ones, you're gonna stay in touch with, and you're gonna be able to step back into that because you all changed together in a really accelerated way that you'll never change again for the rest of your life, as much as you changed during that time.
Yeah, I wish that for my kids. I see that Lily's got a group of friends, actually high school friends, that like, she's still getting together
with. High school friends, it's common to happen as well.
So that makes me so happy that, like, I think this is a good group of people. They're good people, you know? They're not a wreck. There's not drama, you know? It's like, it's hard to not have drama. That's the thing you learn with, like, you get teenagers and their friendships. Good God, preteens. So much drama.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can find a place where there's little to no drama and you can build connection, I mean, it could last for 22 years and counting in our case.
And it's a cliche. In fact, even my mom said this on the phone when I talked to her the other day. She was like, "And I bet y'all picked up right where you left off." And then that's how some of those friendships start. My mom gets together with her college roommates every year. Every year since college has gotten together with them.
Really?
Like, I think there's like four or five of them that were like suite mates or whatever, but—
What, are they go to a water park?
It depends on, you know, it depends, yeah. Mostly water parks. of course, the pandemic put a wrench in that, but so I don't know the last time that they did it, but you know, that is, yeah, she understood. Like, she saw us together in some of the pictures. And
on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, and she's like, I know exactly what that's like to get together with, you know, your old friends in that way. And you basically, like, you know, like with her, there was a nickname, her maiden name was Cowan, and somebody had mispronounced it. They call her like Callan, I think. And so they're just like, that's what her name is with them, right? She's got like her own name with them. And
that's cute.
And so you just kind of like, you return to this place of like, before life got complicated, you know.
Yeah.
And so you kind of step back into that. And also it helps when, you know, we're all basically dealing with, I mean, we're in different
places. Same stage of life.
But same stage of life, like we've all been married 20 years.
Yeah.
We've all got children.
Multiple children. Yeah.
And so it's just like you; those things right there, you immediately have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about in terms of life stage in a way that doesn't often happen. I mean, some of our closest friends here in LA are, you know, similar life stage, been married the same amount of time, kids of a similar age. But that's kind of uncommon in LA. First of all, it's uncommon in LA to meet somebody our age who's been married for 20 years. Like that does, we always surprise people, 21 years now. And also somebody our age who has kids our age.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to go back to people who came from where you came from and were on the same track. Graduate college, get married, have children. That's the track. And there's not a lot of people out here who are on that track. So it's cool to connect with people who kind of made all those same types of decisions.
It was a success. It was life-giving. especially because no one died on a boat.
But if somebody had almost died,
that would have been so great.
This podcast would have been that much more entertaining. And that's why I'm going to say again.
Is this your rec?
If you're a legitimate guide out there who can make us feel like we're going to die. Okay, I don't actually want to. I want to feel like I might, could die.
But I'd also like a nice meal.
Good dinners would be great.
And then, you know, I'd like a mattress, honestly.
I need an air mattress situation.
Yeah.
I need, you know, I don't do well if I'm sleeping on the ground. In hammocks, I can't really get comfortable in those, so we
play hard, sleep great. That's,
yeah. We're really looking for like a glamping situation.
Play hard, eat hard, sleep hard.
Serious,
you know?
Perceived peril during the day.
Right.
Perceived peril. Like if there's gonna be a grizzly bear, it's trained. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And in a cage.
you know who you are. Okay.
Hashtag ear biscuits.
I've got two recs. The first rec is I want to remind you about Good Mythical Evening because it's going to be a good time.
GoodMythicalEvening.com. Get your tickets. It's live exclusively on Moment House.
Second rec is
get your tickets.
As is not uncommon on this podcast, we will talk about something that people were talking about months ago that we discovered because we're middle-aged dads. But you may also be a person who didn't watch this the first time around, and that is that Nick Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, I think is the name of it, the one with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
It was a delight.
Well,
it was a delight.
I'll have to see it.
Yeah, I would say that and then City Slickers.
Okay.
Maybe you do a double matinee.
And as always, if you want to let us know a response, a correction, a question, any type of interaction, you can call us and leave a voicemail. 1-888-EARPOD1. Talk at you next week.
What's up, Rhett and Link? Don't know if you guys want to hear me say this, but my dad is a Southern man, born and reared in Texas, and he, in fact, spent many mornings in his tighty-whities in front of his family of six.
When I was younger, since my family are all immigrants from Austria, it's like Austrian culture for everyone in the house to always, like, be naked unless you're going to go out. So my whole childhood, I was running around naked with my siblings, with my mom, my dad, everyone was just naked in the house all the time. Once I started going through puberty, I realized how weird that was, and I was like, nope, never doing that again. And so now I'm the only one in my household who's not naked.
Hey, Rhett and Link, this is Katie. I was just listening to your episode about Rhett's terrible vacation. I wanted to empathize. I also just got back from North Carolina on a beach trip with my family. And after the first 2 days, I got COVID too. And I had to stay inside the entire time away from my family and not on the beach. So Rhett, you're not the only one who had a terrible vacation this summer in North Carolina.
Hi, Rhett and Link. My name's Elise. I live in Ohio and I am absolutely obsessed with whales. So Rhett's story about whale watching being on an ear biscuit was the absolute best crossover of my life. Thanks for talking about my obsession. Bye.